My name is Tim Green. I'm 34 years old. Today's date is Sunday, September 29, 2019. We are in Memphis, Tennessee. The name of the interviewer partner I have is Dominique Green, and she just so happens to be my sister.
And I am Dominique Green. I am 30 years old. Today's date is Sunday, September 29th, 2019. We are in the best city in the world, Memphis, Tennessee. The name of the interview partner that I'm sitting with is Timothy Lee Green Jr.
Really?
And, yep. And my relationship to him, he is my older brother.
Wait a minute. You're
older.
Only brother.
Only, but he's 5 years older. Just note that.
The people don't need to know all of that.
It's okay. So we're going to go ahead and dive in. And
yes.
Tim is going to start with the questions.
Really?
Older.
Okay. Well, if you could interview anyone from your life, living or dead, but not a celebrity, who would it be and why?
I would interview not a celebrity. That's a good question.
I know. I thought of it.
Okay. Well, you know, didn't see that on the StoryCorps website, but it's okay. I would interview, let's see. Honestly think that I would interview our great-grandmother. So.
Why was I thinking of the same person?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yes. I would interview Irene's mother, Okari. I think the reason would be her thought process as to, you know, how she raised her children and how it was back then and what she had to go through. And have no idea why I'm getting emotional, but
we have like 38 more minutes.
Yes, you're already... so it's fine. I know that I believe she died when grandma was, what, three?
3 years old.
Three
yeah.
years old. So, like, what was she going through at that time? And, you know, grandma, you know, they say that they don't know how she passed. But, you know, talking to grandma, I think it was more so she died from childbirth because she, I think she gave birth and the baby died and she also died. But, you know, how it was back then, grandma says that she, I don't know, I think her body was poisoned. You know, because they didn't have the information or anything like that. So probably to, you know, ask her how it was back then and what was her thought process, I guess, of being a mother and how she was able to be a mother to what? Oh, my God. How many children did she have? About six or seven? Seven or eight, something like that?
It's a gaggle of them,
but
well,
I know.
Granddaddy had a lot, but.
Ooh,
yes.
But as far as grandma is concerned, not too sure how many people, how many she had herself. So, you know, just ask her, you know, how it was back then and things like that. So.
Okay.
That was my, okay, so it's my turn. Okay.
Yes.
Great. So my question would be, we're just going to skip around here. Have you ever been in love? And what was that like?
Yes. I've been in love. I say I've been in love a few times.
Oh.
On different levels. Don't owe me.
Okay, because see, you're a Sagittarius. So
what does that mean?
Okay, so let's get into it. With you being a Sagittarius, it is very, from what I can see, you're not too emotional. Or you don't bring your emotions to the forefront, whereas for me, obviously, because I have tears in my eyes now, which is random.
So random.
I wear my emotions on my sleeve, so
yeah.
You can definitely, I mean, you just sent me a meme the other day that was like how Sagittarius can tell you that they're in love, but they actually don't mean it. Or
yeah.
something like that.
It was like 911, what's your emergency? Help, I'm a Sagittarius, and I keep telling people I love them.
But I don't.
But I don't.
But I don't. Yes, yes. So that's exactly. So have you ever been in love? And what was that feeling like?
I think, going back to your whole thing about being a Sagittarius, I think how I felt about love or what I'm expecting from people has evolved over time. So I think I, of course, starting out like young, like, you know, I stayed like with somebody, like had a girlfriend here and there, but like, oh yeah, like this is who I'm dating and da-da-da-da. And then going to college and then got out of college and all the experiences that I had kind of led me to like, now being 34, I'm very sure about what I want from a partner. So if that's why my span is like 2 weeks. If I don't feel if I don't feel like we're not in a space where this can continue or be sustainable or it's going to better my life, then I got to let you go. Sometimes, you know, we're still friends, but, you know, sometimes it's just like, yeah, no, we could just cut this off. But yes, I've been in love, and I think it's helped to shape what I'm looking for today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good answer. Okay. All right.
Let me see. What is your first memory of me?
What is my first memory of you? My first memory of you is the first one that I can really truly remember. We went to Graves Elementary School here in Memphis, Tennessee. So we went to Graves Elementary School, and I was dropped off, and I thought that you were dropped off too. But then typically what you would do, you would come get me from class. And you didn't come get me from class one day. And I was crying. I was just like, where's my brother? He's not here, blah, blah, blah. And I think mom came and got me and was like, oh, well, he goes to John P. Freeman now. And I was like, what? He switched schools? What is happening? Like, nobody, I don't think anybody told me that you switched schools or you were gone or anything.
That but was seventh grade.
And that's fine, you know, for me.
It was seventh grade. What grade were you in?
I have no idea. What, seventh?
You had to be like first or second.
Yeah, so that was my, I think, I don't know. I can't even remember what I did yesterday. These two children get a lot out of me. So I think that's my first real memory of you is you actually leaving, which I might have to talk to a therapist about that because why is that my first memory, someone leaving?
Right.
When it comes to... I don't know. I don't know what's happening. So, yes, that is my first memory. Mine is kind of the same. As a child, what is your memory of me? Did I get into trouble? And what was I like from your memory, from your perspective of growing up with having a little sister like me?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were born, I was four when you were born, and I was just in this space of like, where did you come from? And I was like, what is happening here? Is somebody else here? So I had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised you didn't tell the story of me running around and be like, hi, I'm TJ, and I'm 4 years old.
I don't remember that.
I was like, and then I was going to get you. I was going to check you and say, you don't remember that.
I don't remember
but
that. I just hear people telling me
I
that.
Just remember you like... being there. And then I remember, which totally speaks into the career that I went into, I remember coming home from school and like making little worksheets for you and like playing like teacher in classroom with you, and you just like being like open to all of that. But I do remember us like at a like time like truly hating each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was just like teenage years and stuff like that. But my first memory would just be like, you were just there, and it was just like, okay, and it was, you know, you're very attentive to the things, like, I wanted to do with you. Be like, hey, let's play this, let's play that. You just like, okay,
went
from there. Let's see. Well, we'll go with something along those lines. What makes us good siblings?
What makes us good siblings? I think we just honestly get each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both have a no judgment zone when it comes to the both of us. And I think that works really well. Also, I think with it only being two of us into the house, mm-hmm. I think we always had the relationship that we, you know, mom instilled in us that, you know, sorry, other siblings, if you may hear
Yeah,
this.
We do have six sisters.
My bad.
It's seven of us and all, but, you know,
but
they live with our dad.
Yes, you know. Mom and dad, our mom and dad's children are, and the way our mom is, shout out to Sandra. She always instilled in us that, you know, no matter what happens, no matter what comes in and out of our lives or who comes in and out of our lives, it's always going to be us two.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be us two for each other. It's always going to be us against the world, pretty much, is what she tried to instill in us. And I think after we got out of that period that, you know, where we hated each other.
Right.
And when we went off to college and things like that, I think we got closer because we could be so open, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. with each other. And once we realized that we could be open with each other, we were like, oh, okay, so this is going to work. You're not judgmental. I'm not judgmental. I think we get it. I think right. we get life. So I think that's what it is. So, yeah. yeah. Okay. Do you see a lot now that we're talking about what you remember, what we remember from one another as siblings growing up? Do you see a lot of characteristics in Kaden and Lena with us?
I think, yes. I do think if I would go back, I was very much more like Kaden. Mm-hmm. I was very emotional, yeah. but at the same time, I was like, school was my everything. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I'm going to school. I'm going to make straight A's or make a B here and there. I'm going to be on student council. I'm mm-hmm. going to be in the choir. I'm going to do that. And then Lena's just like, yeah, bump all that. I'm going to jump out this table.
Right.
So
quick.
It Fast. Really, it cracks me up inside when I see how you get really, really tense when you see Lena doing those things that I literally saw you do growing up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, she is literally trying to stop herself. And I actually told you that before. Yeah. I was like, you fight so hard with Lena because Lena is you.
Mm.
And you're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Blah, blah, blah. Don't stop, stop, stop. And I'm like,
because who wants to be in a Lana?
She's literally hospital. You. And Kaden is me. And she's just, you know, so I definitely see a lot of them in us. Absolutely. Is there anything that you've always wanted to tell me but haven't?
No. Okay. Always been very vocal, and if I wasn't, you found out about it anyway.
That's what I do. God gives me all the signs.
When I snuck down to chat
Yep.
for that party, and then all of a sudden, after the party, the night after, I was extremely intoxicated. I was about, what, 18, 19?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you sped up in a car with sure Willie did. In the car, and I was like, how yep. did you even know that I
From
was
Knoxville,
here?
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I sure did.
Yes. Yeah, so, no, I don't think there's anything. Like I said before, we've been very vocal with one another, no matter if it, you know, hurts or if it is, I'm trying to think, is there anything? Honestly, no, we've always been vocal with each other, so I don't think so.
Okay.
Going back to a sibling thing, what's something that you would change on the way that we were raised?
What do you mean?
As far as if you can change anything about the way that we were raised, whether it be, you know, our grandparents stepping back,
mm-hmm.
our parents taking more of an initiative, or our parents being a little bit more in the place of, like, raising us, kind of. Is there something that you would change about the way that we were raised?
I think one thing that I would change, which is probably a blessing where we are now, mm-hmm. is how young our parents were when they had us.
Right.
With me, I think mom was 18 and dad was 19,
mm-hmm.
And didn't really know what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
And them not taking the time to actually verbalize emotions and feelings and seek therapy and figure mm-hmm. things out, and leading to other things happening, leading to you being here,
mm-hmm.
and it caused a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's drama that I don't think anybody has ever admitted to
mm-hmm.
or anyone has ever apologized for.
Right.
I think it's just been a space of kind of what we see in our community, African-American community, period, just like, okay, well, this happened. You know, we just move on from that, or we brush stuff under the rug, mm-hmm. or whatever happens in this house stays in this house,
right.
type of deal. It kind of made me lose trust for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why now you, like what I said, like that 2-week period mm-hmm. and stuff is like, I'm very particular about who I'll let in my life
mm-hmm.
and who I'll let ride with me, because I don't want to be in a situation where, like what I lived, I don't want to be in a situation mm-hmm. like that. So yeah, I think it's made me cautious about the people that I let into my life.
Yeah, because I was actually having a conversation with grandma yesterday, And it was on the lines of, she said something like, what did she say? She said, you know, your dad never really, oh, because of the relationship, you know, that mom has with Rentrell, and she pretty much does not speak to him.
Your fiance.
Yes, my fiance. She pretty much does not speak to him, and nobody really and truly knows why. And so I asked Grandma, you know, well, you know, the things that my dad did and what he had going on with him and the relationship that he had with my mom and the things that he used to do, but you always welcome him into your house with open arms. And I asked her, was there a reason for that? And she said, yeah, because he never disrespected or did anything to me. And so I just felt like that was like, I was kind of taken aback by that, I guess because I'm a mom now. So, you know, I feel like, you know, no matter if you disrespect me or not, if you, you know, come towards my children or are disrespectful to my children, I consider my children myself. So you're disrespecting me, no matter if you're, you know, doing it to me or not. So, you know, I kind of wanted to ask that because especially since you brought that up yesterday. So that was my question.
Okay. Let's see. What is one thing you want our mom to know about you?
We got more than this tissue box. Why am I going to sound like a big crybaby on this thing? Okay, it doesn't matter.
We're going to actually turn this into a drinking game. We're like, whenever you hear Dominique cry, take a shot.
Take that. You will be so drunk through this whole thing. A quiver will let you know. I want her. What was the question?
What is one thing you would want our mom to know about you?
I want her to know that I am... I want her to know that words mean things. Mm-hmm. That's what I want her to know. Because no matter what she can say things that can trigger me or hurt me without, I don't think, her meaning to, or her trying to crack a joke, or her trying to, I don't know. I guess I just want her to know that something about me that, one, I'm grown. I'm grown. Two, I'm a mom. So I would like for her to be more vocal and open with me about her trials and tribulations as a mom. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going through the same thing, and I want her to teach me and not necessarily talk at me. Mm-hmm. And that I'm extremely sensitive, as we can hear. But that I'm extremely sensitive, and that, you know, that her words matter to me. That's what I want her to know.
Okay.
So, yep. All right, my turn. Let's see. speaking about parents, how is your relationship with your parents?
I will say that right now I'm in the space where I'm having the best version of my relationships with mom and dad. I think because, well, mama is just there most of the time.
She's a weird character.
I don't think that I've ever really connected emotionally with our mother. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have. And it's because I just think she's been in a space of survival mode for so long. Where it was kind of like, you know, I love you, like, that's my mom. But it wasn't like, you know, she's affectionate at times. She'll give you a hug, give you a kiss, whatever. But it still seems kind of robotic,
I guess.
And it's not to take anything away from her. Like, I love her. But I feel like looking back, mm-hmm. and I thought about this morning about, like, how she actively, I never forget it. We were living in Valley Forge. and there was a shooting, and she came in my room and she, like, you know, you know, Tommy got on the floor. We were like laying on the floor, and I was just crying and yelling at her. I was like, you got to do something. I was like, we can't live here. This is not right. We shouldn't grow up like this. And that started when we started moving places. Mm-hmm. So that's when we moved into the other apartment. Mm-hmm. That's when we moved out. So every time she got a new job and things like that, we always moved, and she always made sure that we were in a space that was better than before. Mm-hmm. And that was like one of those moments where I felt like, wow, she really listened to me. But even like now, you know, we'll talk about, you know, shows that we like to watch and stuff like that. But me and your dad.
Fiance.
Right. But me and dad, like, you know, we've definitely had our ups and downs, to a point where I didn't speak to him for a while. The turning point for us was when he was released from prison and had to come live with me. And that's what really shifted our relationship. And even now today, like, of course, I'm out of town, like, every other weekend and stuff like that. He comes over to keep his grand dogs and all of that and make sure that, you know, he's doing stuff for them. And we even, like, he picked me up from the airport last week, and we literally sat in my driveway and talked, even though I was extremely tired, and he had me run around with him for an hour after picking me up from the airport.
You sound angry.
I'm not angry. I was just tired. But we literally sat in my driveway and talked for like another 30 minutes, just like about life and everything. And I was like, wow, like I never would have dreamed that we would have been at that space. Mm. So, yeah.
It's your turn.
Okay. Which leads to my next question. What is one thing you would want our dad to know about you?
Oh, my God. Why is this happening? One thing that I would want him to know about me, that I'm an amazing mom. That I'm an amazing mom, and the reason why I am an amazing mom is because I think that he showed me what not to do as a parent. Hmm. That deep down inside, I am exactly like him.
What?
And that's what I tried to fight the most.
Shocker. Scandalous.
It's a scandal going
on. Scandalous.
I think that's pretty much about it as far as him, because you know, him and I don't speak, which leads me to my next question. Does he ask about me and the girls?
Yes.
What does he say?
He say, how are they doing? Okay. I say, they're good.
Okay.
You know how I feel about that situation.
Right. Well, no, so, I don't. Not really.
Well, because I know that y'all are so much alike, and because I've been in a space, you know, in my 5 years more than you.
Yep.
I've been able to be in a space to reflect on forgiveness, and just realizing that life is too short. And realizing that sometimes forgiving people isn't for me, it's for others. So just thinking about, you know, the girls building a relationship with him as a grandfather, superseding the need for him to have to be a father to you at this point, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that, like, it can't be both. But my next question would be, because I was thinking about this the other day, would a genuine apology from him be accepted and appreciated, I guess?
I don't know if there's a way for me to tell if it's genuine.
Okay.
Because he's so, I'm right. I'm always right. At least that's what I remember.
I was gonna say, it's been years.
Okay, yeah. So I remember him being, I'm right, I'm always right, not willing to listen mm-hmm. to children. Mm-hmm. And I think our family as a whole, from grandma to, you know, mom, they still look at me as a child. Although there's two whole bodies that I've birthed and are
pushed
here.
Out.
pushed out.
I was there for one. It was gross. Pushed, I was there for both, but I literally saw Lena come out.
Lena's delivery. So I'm a, I'm a whole, I'm not too sure if I can say this, but I'm a whole, as Crystal says, off the reed. I feel like I'm on the reed right now. Shout out to Crystal and Kid Fear. But anyway, I'm a whole grown booby woman. So, and I don't think that the family sees me as such. So I don't know if a conversation with him, if he would allow me to speak, if he would allow me to express myself in the way that I feel, and if he would actually, you know, accept what I'm saying and not be like, no, this is what really happened. Yeah, well, I'm telling you what I saw with my eyes and what I heard, and I just don't understand it. And I understand that, you know, he's a product of the way that he was raised as well. I think that our parents, you know, are only doing what they, doing the best with what they knew and how they knew to do things. So, yeah. That was my long way of doing that. I had a question. I just forgot it in my mind. What was it? Oh, yes. Because you're on dad now. Do you think he's a different grandfather than he was a father?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think even his relationship as a father now is different. And I just think, like, you know, even growing up, like, we had this father that was kind of like this force. Like, he was very dominant and masculine, and this is the way things are going, and rah, 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 rah. And, you know, for better or worse, life experiences is kind of like taking him down a few notches. And now he's at a space where he's rebuilt himself and he's reflected on those things. And he's really taken some reflection within itself. And I think that's kind of, you know, how we've been able to have a better relationship, and seeing him with grandkids too. Like, he's not the same guy, you know, that we grew up with at all. Yeah.
Okay.
So... what has been, let me see.
Nope, not that one.
How has being a parent changed you?
It's changed me dramatically. It's like a completely 360 from what I was before Caden and Lena. Before them, I was reckless. Not reckless in a bad way.
Yeah, you were reckless.
Okay, so I was very reckless, not really, didn't really care too much about, you know, I don't know if it was care about life, but I literally looked at life as, okay, I'm waking up. Okay, I'm waking up again the next day. And I'm waking up again the next day. Rarely, very careless as far as drinking is concerned. The only thing I pretty much cared, the only thing I pretty much cared about was money and making it. And being like, oh, I'm the first one to do this. I'm the first one to do that. Whereas now with Caden and Lena, I have to be a lot more stable than what I was back then. I have to make sure they're okay, fed, clothed, didn't hurt themselves, didn't kill themselves today, didn't jump off anything they weren't supposed to today, Lena. So I'm more emotional, as we can see by this recording. Extremely emotional and more nurturing than I was before I had them. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's what's made me different. Okay. Let's see. What was it? It was right here. Oh, what lessons have you learned from your either friendships or relationships?
Oh, so I'm learning a big lesson right now. Just the evolution of friendship, and also being patient with people and being okay for them not to be completely in my life. There have been a lot of incidents with friends recently where it was either a situation where they were moving that I didn't know about, or it was a been in the hospital and I didn't know about it, or a trip that was taken and I didn't know about, or it's just been all these different things that has made me reflect, like, dog, what did I do something to somebody? Like, I don't think I have, but I had to take it from me, like, being selfish and seeing, like, that has nothing to do with me. I mean, all I could do is, like, you know, pray for those people and still be their friend, you know. So I had that little moment of, like, so why did I not know this? Yeah. You know, and then I was like, well, it's not for me to know, you know, and just still being there for that person the best way that I can. So friendships have just taught me a lot more about patience. And then I also realized that I'm making a huge shift in my life right now with all of the projects that I'm doing with, like, you're looking at, like, literally 2 years ago, like, jobless, struggling, lights off every other month, all of this stuff. And now I'm in a space where I'm blessed and continuously being blessed. I have to just realize that I won't continue to be blessed like this if I was to hold grudges against people. And understand that everybody's on their own journey. So if I was there 2 years ago, you know, it might be other people in those same situation, and I just have to pray and support them as well.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So, a fun question. If you could describe me with an emoji, which would it be?
I would describe you in the smirk emoji. That's why. Because it's always something, whether it's a saying or something, it's always something really slick going on in your head. Either a slick comeback, a slick saying, and it comes immediately, like your wit.
I can be quite shady.
Yes, your wit and your way, the way that you throw trees.
Yes.
Not shade, but trees at people. And then the person would be like, wait a minute, what? And then you just be like, and we're moving on. So, I mean,
You're welcome.
I definitely think it would be the smirk emoji.
You're welcome.
Okay. What are your dreams for me? Or do you have any dreams or aspirations for me?
What are my dreams for you? My dreams for you are to be extremely happy. You, your kids, and your husband, nice little house, and you all, actually building something together, and just being, like, you're a businesswoman, but at the same time, like, your true passion is, like, mom is, like, your life calling, so I see you doing that very well, and I just see you like it, you know, I'll be there when you up there with your phone. Or everybody probably have drones of mine this time. And Lena and Caden graduating, you up there crying, and I'm gonna have to control one of the drones because your ass just all over the place. Yes. I don't know what I'm crying, and it's just like, you know. So that's what I see for you.
Okay.
Let's see. We probably got time for one more. Oh, I say same question for me.
I just honestly, you know, the business part of you is a no-brainer. I just see, like, you know, with all the things that you're doing for young men and just youth in general, I definitely see, like, crazy, you know, achievements, Nobel Peace Prizes type thing going on there, you know, that type
all
thing.
Right.
Like, good, you know, like, awards around the neck type thing from, like, presidents that. And just, like, all of those things, just, like, crazy, crazy things for you as far as, like, you know, business and, you know, helping the youth, having your own school, things like that. I just see so much for you there.
Why does everybody want me to open a school?
You know, LeBron James. I just feel like...
What does that matter?
He has a school. And is doing really well. So I just feel like, but as far as... I just want to honestly see you happy with someone. As far as a partner is concerned, to see you happy with them and they love you as much as I know that you're willing to love them.
Get your shots ready,
and,
folks.
And just to, you know, just be happy, you know, have your family, little boys and girls, things like that running around, not just Korean Major, sorry to the dogs, but actually, you know, human children that you can't necessarily give away. Well, you can, but it's really frowned upon.
By that time, I'm giving them to you.
So, right, and they will be old enough to babysit Caden and Lena, so
yes.
I won't have to do so. But just to be really happy romantically, that's pretty much what I see for you, and that's what my dreams and aspirations are for you. So, all right. Okay, it's me now. So, I actually looked up the definition of like a dad and a father and things like that. And he was like, oh, a male parent and this, that, these things and other. But it's kind of different from me. Get your shots ready, folks. I think that my definition of a father is someone that is always there for that person to push them, to guide them. Don't think I have ever really truly said thank you for the things that you have done for me. As far as when I did get kicked out of UTC, nobody judged me for that, by the way. Yeah, kicked out my first semester, went in on academic probation. Just being young and really, you know, college got the best of me, I think. So I could have just came home to Memphis. But you made a phone call and was like, nope, you're going to come up here with me to Knoxville. I'm going to get you a job. You're going to go to the community college and you're going to be fine. And literally taking me under your wing again, as you did so many times when we were younger. So moving me into Knoxville, getting me my own place with roommates and getting me a job, just honestly, as much as I hate to admit it, it did open my pathway to hospitality, to where I am now. Starting off as a leasing agent, you know, selling apartments to college kids and their parents, it did pave the way for me to be where I am as a group sales manager for literally the top hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. So I don't think I've ever said thank you for that, but thank you. And that is something that a father does. A father is also very nurturing and non-judgmental. And that's what you have been to me. I don't think I could ever tell our parents half the things that I've told you. And that's something that a father does. So to nurture, to teach, to pick up when they are definitely down. So with that being said, I'm crying again.
They can hear.
Okay. a father also walks the bride down the aisle. So I wanted to ask you if you could walk me down the aisle for my wedding.
Yes.
Okay. So you guys have to take more shots. Because it's not only me crying now. I just think you'll be the perfect person to do so. And you've more than earned that right to meet. So I think you did a wonderful job. And thank you so much for saying yes.
You're welcome.
And I think that's a great place to end.
Oh, you make me sick. Oh my gosh.
You not only have to take shots for when I cry all 17 times during this episode.
Finish the bottle down with me.
Because you have to finish that bottle with Tim. So
I think that's it. You know, that's it. That's all we got. That's all we got.